Chapter 7, Shedding New Light on the Great Pyramid. Are we walking around in a hypnotic trance? Have we forgotten that we have lived before and will live again? Are we connected to all the living things around us on a direct conscious level? Is there a working third eye in the center of our brains? Are there techniques we can practice that will allow us to venture directly into the source field and perform seemingly impossible miracles? Can others go there with us at the same time and experience the same things? Is the 25,920-year cycle just a wobble in the Earth's axis? Did the ancients give us a working source field technology, pyramids, as a way of revealing that this source field can indeed be harnessed and directed for the benefit of all life on Earth? Is the Great Pyramid ultimately our single best piece of surviving evidence to prove that our ancestors had very highly advanced technology? Does it also give us the tools to reconstruct their lost ancient science? The Great Pyramid is considered the largest stone building on Earth, covering some 13 acres at its base, the equivalent of 7 midtown city blocks in Manhattan, and it rises to the height of a 40-story building. Approximately 2.3 million limestone and granite blocks were used to build it, each of them weighing 2.5 to 70 tons apiece, for a total mass of about 6.3 million tons. No crane ever built in modern times is strong enough to lift stones this heavy. It would simply tumble over. The bedrock underneath the Great Pyramid was leveled out so perfectly that no corner of the pyramid's base is more than a half inch higher or lower than the others. Such precise leveling goes significantly beyond even the finest architectural standards of today. Strangely, the pyramid is also located at the exact center of the Earth's landmass, the one true axis mundi. Its east-west axis sits precisely on the longest land parallel, covering the greatest amount of land and the least amount of water on Earth, passing through Africa, Asia, and America along the way. The longest land meridian, crossing over Asia, Africa, Europe, and Antarctica, also passes right through the pyramid. The likelihood of finding this perfect location by accident is 1 in 3 billion. I didn't understand why this location was so important until years later, as we will see, but it has to do with the flow and positioning of natural energy fields from the Earth that have remained unknown to mainstream scientists in our own modern times. The sides of the pyramid line up so well with true rotational north that they only deviate by 3 minutes of arc in any one direction, less than 0.06%. Another coincidence is that if you calculate the average height of land above sea level, with Miami as the low and the Himalayas as the high, you come out with 5,449 inches, which is the exact height of the Great Pyramid. To me, the most surprising fact of all was that when the Great Pyramid was first built, it was covered with 21 acres of gleaming, brightly polished white casing stones, a total of about 115,000 blocks of pure white limestone, averaging 100 inches or 8.3 feet in thickness. If you caught the glint of the sun's reflection off of these stones in the daytime, it would be blindingly bright, thus earning it the name Taqut, or the light. The reflections could apparently be seen from the mountains of Israel hundreds of miles away. Despite the fact that some of these casing stones weighed 16 tons, all 6 sides were carved to fit together so perfectly that the cracks between them were only 1/50th of an inch wide, which is narrower than a human fingernail. Sir Flinders Petrie described this in the late 1800s as the finest optician's work on the scale of acres, comparing it to the precision used to grind lenses for a telescope. Richard C. Hoagland has pointed out that even the tiles on a NASA space shuttle do not fit together this closely. Even more surprisingly, these cracks are not empty. They are filled with a cement that is incredibly strong. There is no known way you could fit a mortar into cracks 1/50th of an inch wide and evenly cover areas as large as 5 feet by 7 feet wide in the vertical with any known methods. And if you were foolhardy enough to smash the casing stones with a sledgehammer, you would find that the limestone itself breaks before the cement does. I'm well aware of how fantastic this must sound. It's one thing to see the pyramid sitting there as it is today, a giant mass of decaying stone blocks. It would be quite something else to witness it in its original form, looking like a gigantic, gleaming white sculpture in the desert, something totally unlike any other technological achievement we've ever seen on Earth, whether from ancient times or in our modern world. Thankfully, many people witnessed these casing stones in their original form and documented their observations in writing over the centuries, and the history can be found in Peter Tompkins' Secrets of the Great Pyramid. According to Tompkins, limestone becomes harder and more polished with time and weather, unlike marble. Think about the gorgeous stalactites and stalagmites of limestone you can find in underground caves. Therefore, the pyramid did not get progressively more dull-looking as the centuries rolled by after it was first built. In approximately 440 BC, Herodotus wrote that the pyramid's casing stones were highly polished, with joints so fine they could scarcely even be seen with the naked eye. The 13th century Arab historian Abd al-Latif said that despite their polished appearance, these stones were inscribed with mysterious, unintelligible characters, enough to fill 10,000 pages. His colleagues assumed these writings were the graffiti of ancient tourists. William of Baldensall visited the pyramid in the early 1300s and described these strange inscriptions as being all arranged in long, careful rows of strange symbols. When the casing stones eventually were lost, so went any hope of documenting these mysterious writings for future code-breaking analysis and study. Diodorus Siculus, who lived soon after the time of Christ, wrote that the casing stones were complete and without the least decay. The Roman naturalist Pliny witnessed native boys running up the polished sides to the delight of tourists.